Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Way We Nerd, right here from beautiful Warner Brothers lot in Burbank, California. We just got off work, and we are doing our second job, which we love so much, and that's talking to all you about nerdy, fun stuff.
Yay.
So, anyway, the seats are arranged a little differently today, so it's I am Daniel Villalobos, and to the left of me...
Kyle Bound.
Right across from me...
Josh Moorhead.
And right to the right of me... Oh, wait, no, he's not here. Nerd down.
We are Potterless today.
We are Potterless today. He is feeling a little bit under the weather, but that's okay because he's working on some fun stuff for the website that you guys are going to be seeing very, very soon.
He's hiding in the cupboard under the stairs at
yes.
the moment.
He's at Pottery Barn.
Yeah.
Didn't know you were going there. That was good.
I did not see that one good. Coming.
All right. So today's show is going to we have a lot of news to talk about. In the last week, since we talked to you guys last, there has been a massive amount of nerd news, especially in the movie world. And speaking of movies, the hot topic of this show is going to be a magnificent, okay, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm just guessing it's going to be a magnificent, the greatest comic book movie of all time, because Ryan Reynolds says so.
Oh, not Howard the Duck? Two.
Wait, is that not the movie we're seeing, Howard the Duck?
I thought so.
There's only one movie
we're
talking
about. I don't know what
Ryan
Reynolds has to do with Howard the
Duck. Yeah, what movie are we talking about,
Josh? If you said, you know, hot topic and movie.
And Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, that's got to be Deadpool.
Oh, that's exactly. Actually, I was
hoping the biggest.
I thought
hot
he meant
topic
the store hot topic.
Yeah, exactly.
No, actually,
it's such a hot topic character.
I think the Egyptian.
is,
I think
a hot topic character.
Yeah. The Egyptian that's is showing really, Green Lantern with an extra 5 seconds. We're not
no,
gonna
but
see that.
That's an interesting thing though.
It's a hot
like,
topic
he
character.
He is totally a hot topic character.
Fuck yeah, he's a hot
like,
topic
he's
character.
He's like a shirt.
He
yeah. character.
I'm wearing a shirt right now, and if you go to my Instagram, you will see it. I am wearing a shirt with Deadpool standing on top of Groot and. Raccoon, Rocket Raccoon is sitting in the corner telling him, that's my spot. And Deadpool says, make it count, kitty. Talking about, you know, Titanic. And then he tells Groot to the Shire, oh, Tree Dude to the Shire.
But you didn't describe
what is Groot
tits.
Saying? What's Groot saying?
I am Groot.
Yes. I just described everything is on my tits.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
if you're like, if you're us, Deadpool's a fun, cool character that's a different take on the superhero genre. If you're 14, it's your way of wearing the shirt that Dan's wearing and being able to tell your dad, like, fuck you, Dad, without saying, like, fuck you, Dad. Because,
exactly.
like, Deadpool's yeah. your subversive expression of self.
Just don't try to turn to your right, look at the camera, and say, fuck you, Dad, because I promise you he can hear
yeah,
you.
Yes, exactly. He can. Not just everybody in the audience breaking that fourth wall, as Deadpool does very often in sixth and seventh and eighth walls is... what I'm told they're breaking in this movie.
There are many walls. There are walls.
There are way more walls than we thought. But anyway, we'll get to Deadpool a little bit later in the show.
Yes, we're recording this on Thursday evening. We are going to a late showing of Deadpool where we will then, you know, talk to you after that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But for now.
So, but anyway.
Other stuff.
Yes, other stuff. By the way, pause real quick. Not going. All right, well, on to news then. The first one I want to bring up is a well, it's fun for me at least, and fun for anybody who was born in the 80s and had the USA Network and got to see it on reruns. MacGyver is coming back to the big screen and to the small screen. I have no idea if they're connected. In the stories that I read, it did not say.
Another shared universe.
Yeah, the MacGyververse.
I guess, and it sounds like it's a reboot, so no Richard Dean Anderson this time, which is cool. Like, I'm sure
he'll make an appearance.
Yeah, he's going to come out. He's going to be
oh my God, they MacGyver's might do that dad thing where it's like, well, yeah, where it's like MacGyver Jr.
Yeah.
It's like some kid that's really good at stuff, and then MacGyver pops up and is like, there's a way you could put these skills to use, but you have to be codenamed MacGyver.
MacGyver. Yes. I'm only excited for this.
I love the idea of MacGyver as Bond.
Yeah.
Like it's a codename that gets handed down to agents.
For people that are really good with rubber bands and rubber clips.
I have quite a few friends out there that love MacGyver, but would prefer them to make a MacGruber TV show. I definitely would watch that. I don't know if you guys have seen...
MacGruber's underrated, for sure.
I've heard that.
It's a little bad.
I
it's
love
a little
skit,
difficult
so.
To... like, the movie was rough at points.
Yeah, but the thing is...
MacGruber's a hard thing to stretch out.
Yeah.
Now it's a longer than 3 minutes.
With The Last Man on Earth out now, I'm pretty sure people are starting to get Will Forte's kind of off-the-wall...
Weirdness
in the way he performs. Like, I mean, if it's not obviously all him, like he has writers and other creators, directors and stuff who are helping along, but especially Last Man on Earth, it's very much Will Forte's sense of humor. Like, when you Absolutely. Watch his SNL skits, like, you know, that's what it feels like. And I love Will Forte, and he's, I'm glad his brilliance is being shown. But anyway,
MacGyver was like was probably my first thing. Because I think when we were talking about this the other day, we looked up when it started.
Yeah.
And you were like, weren't you in your mom's business then? Like, yes. How were you?
Yeah. Like, or even in your dad's scrotum. Yeah, I mean, you were, MacGyver, I want to say MacGyver started like in 85, 86?
Yeah. I don't know, I was like two.
Yeah, you guys were very, very young.
It may have hit me even before Turtles and all that shit. Like, I was just way into MacGyver.
Well, that's cool. And that was a time when there was a lot of cool action shows on TV. I remember this as a kid. I used to watch that. The Fall Guy was an awesome show about a stuntman who went on adventures. Wow, that's good for a remake right there. Airwolf with the friggin' helicopter. A-Team, of course, as everybody knows that. Action TV was the king back then, the way comic books seem to be the king
now. It's a really fascinating thing,
as far as genre goes.
Because today, MacGyver would have to be like a hacker or something.
Yeah, and that's what scares me.
In the world of cell phones and internet.
Yeah.
Because I finally saw that movie, Black Hat. That movie sucked. And I friggin' love Michael Mann. He's a great director, but that movie was terrible. It was pretty at points. It had two cool action sequences, and Chris Hemsworth was really good in the role, but it didn't matter because the movie sucked, and it was about a hacker, and I'm thinking to myself, this isn't really that entertaining. Maybe you make this entertaining?
Yeah, but you know what? Swordfish was also about a hacker.
True.
And that movie.
True. That movie rocks.
I love Swordfish.
That movie rocks. Okay, and Hackers was pretty good, too, back in the day with Angelina Jolie and
Hopefully not.
Philippi? No.
Really, if you want to make a good hacker movie, you just have to ignore how computers work.
Right.
Well, and that's the problem with Black Hat. Black Hat tries to like goes like into the system, and if MacGyver's anything like that, no. But if you and I don't want to make it campy, but you gotta like, Richard Dean Anderson is a charming motherfucker, and he brought that charm to Stargate for 8 years or however long he was on it.
I haven't watched it, but if they made it something like a more fun Mr. Robot, that could be really cool.
That would be really cool.
If it's just a really talented savant.
Yeah. Mr. Robot's amazing, by the way. If you guys haven't got on that, get on that now. But anyway, let's move on from MacGyver.
It's just going to be like a life hacker is all it's going to be. He's going to show up and be like, you can use this empty 2-liter bottle to store your socks on the moon.
Or he's just like, it's just Joel Osteen. He's like, just your best life now.
God, kill me now. Okay, what's next?
Yeah, let's move on from MacGyver then. All right.
Hopefully, I don't know if this is jumping in the gun or a smooth transition, but Chris Hemsworth has a really bad penchant for being in movies nobody sees or wants to see outside of Thor.
I know. I don't know what it is, because it's not him, because most of the movies I've seen with him in it that are you're talking about, the movies have sucked around him, but he's good.
He's engaging and stuff, but he's just, nobody turns out if he's not holding a hammer.
That's very, very true. It's very, very true. And they've tried. I mean, they should have turned out for Rush. That movie was
Rush
amazing.
Was great.
Rush was cool.
But I liked
it. I think I had an...
Since you folks can't see, Kyle is staring daggers at Mr. Moorhead right now.
I did it.
Rush was one of the best movies
of
that year.
So...
Moving on.
Okay, yeah, we can move on.
Rush was one of the best movies of that year, but that's just Kyle and I's opinion, apparently, at this table. I'm gonna lump these next three together, and I just want to get a quick opinion on all three of them from you two. We'll start with Kyle on this one. Kickboxer reboot with Jean-Claude Van Damme in the teacher role.
Okay.
Yeah,
It's not Creed, you know. Like, good. It's right. I don't care.
I love that. That's what
Sorry.
I want to hear.
I'm,
no,
yeah,
that's what I want to
great
hear.
Discussion.
I'm,
don't
I'm
care.
I'm equally not...
In, that's what I'm saying. I'll run one sentence.
It's like a doctor
this.
Telling me I have diabetes. I'm not surprised. Let's move on. Yeah.
Let's move on. Okay, well, my one sentence is I love Van Damme and I'm down to watch it. But that's about it. The other one I had, that's why I lumped these three together. So did either one of you guys see the really bad, well, it wasn't that bad actually. It was okay. Three Stooges reboot a few years ago by the Farley Brothers.
Yeah, no. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. I'm
glad that they went for it.
Okay.
It was my first exposure to what's that supermodel? We'll move on from her, but also Larry David played a nun.
I totally forgot she was in that.
Larry David played a nun?
Yeah.
Okay, might have to watch that movie now.
Yeah, it was worth it for that.
That part was cool. And there's a couple scenes where you're like, okay, these actors are pretty
good as the Stooges, maybe they should stop. And the reason I bring this up is because apparently they're rebooting it with 3 12-year-old Stooges. So I don't know if it's going to be a kids show, which it should be, because the Three Stooges were for kids, even though it's a very violent show, but back in the 30s, that didn't matter.
Well, it's cartoon violence.
Exactly. It's cartoony violence. They never ever got hurt.
Yeah, the eyes never actually popped out.
But the funny thing is kids back then didn't kill each other emulating the Stooges the way, like, that kid burned down his house emulating Beavis and Butthead.
No.
Or maybe it did happen.
I feel like that's almost like a... I know that happened, but I feel like the context of it is almost an urban legend now.
Yeah, that's
like,
very true.
I don't feel like that kid...
Fire.
Yeah.
Fire.
But
I just think it's hilarious, though, but I mean, it's just like, this violence has been around forever, but now they're blaming it for all the shit. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, they blamed it for it back then, too.
Yeah. I think it's awesome that they're...
All this has happened before. That's very true. You're true.
Yes.
That's true.
It's awesome that they're redoing Three Stooges, because I feel like it's an important cultural thing.
I do.
Has anybody ever done, like, a biopic Three Stooges?
Yeah,
there was a TV movie.
It was okay.
Okay, so no.
Right. Not
I'll
major.
I'll say John Stamos was involved. So, like,
Mel Gibson.
No,
Gibson
John
produced
Stamos'
it.
Older brother.
Mel Gibson produced it, and it was noteworthy for...
oh, yeah, Gibson.
The guy who played Curly was Michael Chiklis.
Oh,
and he
that's
was
right.
really, really good. He was really, really good
at Curly. This is a really good point to, like, in the lost halls of Hollywood, the Three Stooges that never happened, which was Jim Carrey,
yes.
Sean Penn,
yes.
and
which,
help me out,
Benicio del Toro.
Yeah.
That was the Farley Brothers one that turned into,
I know, to turn into
Jack,
Sean Hayes,
Jack,
the guy you've
yeah,
never heard
the
of.
The studio was like,
and,
no,
yeah.
Yeah, who the hell played Mo? I don't even remember.
It was like two dudes that you've never heard of, and Sean Hayes. Or no, it was Will Forte.
Well, no,
not Will Forte.
It was the other Will, the big guy.
The mad
Will
TV Sasso. Will.
Will yeah,
Sasso.
Will Sasso, yeah. Which he wasn't bad. That's the thing, is like the guys weren't bad, but it was just like, it didn't give anybody a reason to watch
it. I think even he was, because he was a guest star on a show that I was working on then, and in the food line, I was like, hey, I saw Three Stooges. I laughed. And he was like, yeah. Like, he didn't even, he's like, it was, I don't know.
It sounded like he was almost doing
acrobatics.
Sad sack Will Sasso.
Yeah.
But, anyway, all right.
What's the third one?
The third one, and I'm just going to say, yes, please, to this one, Keanu Reeves in a rally car movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a Cars guy. That's why I wasn't in
I'm not
Rush.
Either.
I'll see the trailer.
Yeah. I'm not either, but I'll say this. Days of Thunder is
good.
Days of Thunder, one of my favorite movies, and Rush is one of my favorite movies.
I've never seen Days of Thunder, and,
so,
and Rush wasn't bad. It just wasn't my thing.
The thing about the best sort of car movies are ones where it, you know, in Rush, if it had been tennis and he got horribly disfigured in an accident, like, it would have worked just as well.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't really about
No, it wasn't
driving.
About the racing.
No, and it was about the performances by those two men, especially Daniel Brühl, who was...
Yeah.
I do have to amazing. Note that my favorite movie of 2008 was Speed Racer, though.
I like Speed Racer.
Awesome. Okay. It was a pretty...
No,
they mostly realized what Speed Racer is.
Yeah.
That's
so much.
Basically, what they
it's
tried to do with Speed Racer,
heart.
They did. They just made a live-action anime movie.
Yeah.
And people didn't get it or didn't want to get it. But I liked it. Yeah. I liked
it.
Well,
they also
Racer.
Made it a good 50 years after the show was on.
That's true, too. Was it maybe... And Matthew Fox's Racer X?
Yeah. And one of the most...
It all worked for me.
Yeah, and the monkey and the kid were hilarious.
It was beautiful.
Jim. I liked it.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Okay, good.
Okay.
That's a movie I think that's going to be revisited in, like, 10 to 15 years and be like, this was not that bad.
Time Magazine in 2008 put it in, like, their top four. And said the same thing you just said, which is this movie will be revisited in like 20 years, and people will be like, "Oh my god,
it's gonna age! It's gonna age really well, and it's gonna look pretty in 20 years."
It's the reason I got a Blu-ray player.
There you go.
I need to buy that movie now that you mention it.
All right,
next? So we're moving on. Some more news. Selma's, and actually, I'm gonna skip that one.
Black Lives Matter.
No, they do, but I don't really. Okay,
Black
I'm sorry.
Matters.
I'll bring this one back.
I'm just not sure what.
But I'm gonna ask.
I'm gonna ask you this.
So. Yeah. Okay, it's her next. It's her next project. So she was sought for what Black Panther. She was sought for
a
couple other big projects, and the one she chose apparently, or at least negotiations according to Deadline, is A Wrinkle in Time. Now, did you guys ever read that book when you guys were kids?
I love that book.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
I'm
glad because I don't really know it that well. But from what I read, it's a very unadaptable book.
It's pretty.
It's gonna be difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what is the story? Can you guys help me out? Because I don't really know. I really
go for it because it's been a long.
Yeah, it's time been. Since a,
I,
it's.
I mean, the general, just the general
didn't it
story.
Have like a, it's. It wasn't the Tesseract, but it was something like that, right?
It's yes. It's okay. Really trippy and cool. It's basically yes. Like two kids. A sister chases her brother out into the woods or something. When they're out there, they run into some mystical creature or thing, and then they're just sent on a twisted-ass journey through time and space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, but it's really fascinating because the book is a children's story, but it's really about, like, philosophy and theology. Because they're whenever they meet a new character, they're hit with another presentation of, like, a really big adult idea synthesized in a kid's way.
You sold me really well, Josh. Now I want to see it. Because I am a fan of her. Like, I liked Selma a lot. I thought Selma was a fantastic movie, and I finally saw it. It took me a year to see it, I hate to say it, but I finally saw it, and I was like, damn, I'm pissed at myself really for good. Waiting this long. But, and the reason I wanted to see it was because of all these movies that were getting tossed at her, all these movies that I want to see, and she was turning them down, and this is the one she took. So, that's what...
It is crazy hard to adapt, though, because, like, one of the creatures are hanging... Like, the book sometimes goes to places where it's like... Wish you could we could tell you about this thing we're hanging out with, but it's not describable in human terms. It has like 17 legs, and that way it's almost like the Bible.
But yeah, and then it's something you don't want to see.
Right, exactly.
To see that would ruin that illusion, that
all right.
Largeness. Fantastical.
Yes.
Actually, I just wanted to give a shout out to a person that we all know and like a lot, a man.
Me?
No, he said light.
Sorry. I'm going to let Kyle take this one because he knows him a little bit better than the three of us, and you'll know what I'm talking about. Cruel Intentions is getting a television show.
Yes, it is.
I love that movie.
The movie's great.
And I'm a big fan of...
Roger Cumble, written and directed by him. He's directed a few PLLs.
Yes. We like Roger a lot.
Yeah, the interesting story behind that pilot is... So it's sort of a next generation kind of thing.
Yeah.
My understanding.
Yeah, because Sarah Michelle Gellar's going to be in it, apparently.
Or that negotiations. I hadn't heard. Yeah. Okay. So what's interesting is how it came about. Because there's these stage shows that they do here in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where they take. It started with this group, for the record, that did. They did like a John Hughes musical extravaganza where they took scenes from John Hughes movies.
That stuff's really
songs
cool.
From John Hughes movies, sort of mashed them together, performed
I have
them.
Heard this. I
they
do
did
see
Tarantino.
This.
They did some of these. And
oh,
then,
wait, I did see it.
And then, yes, we went and saw the Tarantino all together. Yes.
With Janelle Parrish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, another, these other two people, I remember one of their names, Jordan, and I cannot remember his partner's name. It starts with a K, I think. Or it's Lauren. I don't know. I'm horrible. they did Cruel Intentions, the musical. So it was the same thing. They went through sort of the plot of Cruel Intentions using the words from it, but they took a bunch of sort of a 90s jukebox musical. And so from that, they did that in Hollywood for, I think, a month or so. And then from that, that's where the pilot came from. So those two wrote the pilot. Roger's executive producing. I think he's directing the pilot, but I'm not certain about that.
He is directing the pilot.
So, yeah. So
he's gonna be, I'm pretty sure he's going to be pretty heavily involved because, actually, I can't give that stuff away. So
his,
never mind.
His
I'm
schedule
stop right
has
now.
Gotten busy.
Yes, yes. We have a little bit of inside information.
He's a good
on him,
dude, though.
He's a very good person.
And he's very humble about, like, when I realized he did some of the stuff he did, he was just.
I know. Cool and he'll talk to you about it. He's a really cool guy about it. I mean, he's very proud of that first movie. I mean, I think his company is called Cruel Intentions, Inc. Mm-hmm. And it is. It was a hit then, but it's achieved a different kind of cult status, you know, movies were still hits at the time they came out, but they've taken on a different life later on.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for it. I'm excited for Roger, and hopefully we can get him on the podcast and talk about it someday. I'm sure he'd be. He probably would.
I talked to him with you. Dan, outside of the ice cream truck that we had on set at the end of last season, about the Selma Blair like
spill. Yes. Yeah, that's where I heard it.
Don't tell the story.
I'm not gonna tell the story, but I'm just gonna say it was a moment that I never thought I would have in my life. Like I'm eating free ice cream at Warner Brothers, talking to the director of Cruel Intentions about the scene that alerted my sexuality when I was 11. You know, like
Josh has a thing for spit. It's disgusting. Yeah. You don't want to know.
I don't think any of us sitting at this table can deny how much we love the business we work in. even though we're still totaling at the bottom, we know what we'll get. And this is, yeah. We have moments like that, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's why. That's another reason why I do this and take all the shit I take.
But mostly the free ice cream.
Yeah, mostly yeah. The free ice cream. All right, so big shout out. No, we'll still stay in the TV realm. I didn't even know about this. I don't know how this got past me. But Netflix is bringing back Voltron, which I loved as a kid. And Guillermo del Toro is involved. And that's pretty exciting news since I love both of him. Both of those things, Guillermo and Voltron together. Did you guys ever watch Voltron? Is it you? No. I mean, it's a little bit older for you.
I dabbled because it was like on Toonami, I think.
Yeah,
it's been around. Adult Swim was a thing where late at night Cartoon Network was like, "Here's some action shows your parents might not want you to watch."
Okay, so in case we have younger people out there who like younger than Josh and Kyle, definitely younger than myself, and don't know what Voltron is basically this giant robot that is assembled by five warriors who fly around.
Well, it's Power Rangers.
Yeah, it's a good call. Power Rangers, I didn't even think about that. It is Power Rangers. Holy crap. Which one came first? Power Rangers Voltron. Is after, right? Yeah. Power Rangers was one of those things, though, that premiered in Japan and then moved over here.
Well, it's because there's a whole Japanese thing. That's why we got Pacific Rim of, like, Kaiju versus Mechs.
Kaiju.
Yes.
I love it. Okay. Anyway, the fact that I liked Pacific Rim, so Guillermo del Toro doing a cartoon about a big monster, a big robot fighting monsters, I'm down with that. Let's stay in the TV realm because this is freaking huge news to me and actually to everybody here. Variety is reporting that Brian Fuller, actually I think this is news, Brian Fuller has taken over Star Trek, TV show.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Oh, you don't even hear that part. Okay. No. Brian Fuller, in case you folks don't know and should, is a man who actually wrote for Star Trek. He wrote for Deep Space Nine and he show ran Pushing Daisies, which is one of the most underrated TV shows in the last 20 years.
Pushing Daisies was great. He did Wonderfalls. He did Wonderfalls. Like Me, which is really
funny. I didn't know he did Wonderfalls. I saw that. I was like, oh my God, he did that too? He is a fantastic writer, fantastic storyteller. Yes. Most recently, he was in charge of Hannibal, which was awesome. Just for some reason, his shows don't find a huge audience.
But always beloved.
Yes, exactly. They're fiercely beloved. And he even came in and ran Heroes for a while when the first time around. And I think he was during some of the stronger
parts of the later parts. He was definitely there during some of the...
Yeah. So I'm very excited. And in the case that people don't know, this Star Trek is going to be... They haven't really said what it's going to be about, but it's starting on CBS.
It's starting... They're going to air like one episode, I think, on CBS... proper.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be available on their, like, web app.
Yes.
Streaming service, which, whatever that's going to be.
You know, their version of HBO Go, which, I heard CW's even going to do this, too. All the networks are going this way. Cable is
CW
shaking in their roots
CW has
Seed, right,
which they've had for a little while now.
Yeah. Oh, they do have one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. CW.
Because, is that what Vixen airs on?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and they have, like, this vampire musical show coming up that I'm really excited about.
It sounds stupid to say, but I think we're going to hit critical mass for, like, streaming services. Because now everybody's running there, and it already crashed for, like, Yahoo. Like, even with Community, they shuttered.
Yeah, well, because they paid so much, yeah.
Well, it depends. I feel like it's going to depend on a couple things. One, Netflix and Hulu will be fine.
Right.
There has to be... With Yahoo, they're not a television film company, to my knowledge. Unless they have some division that I'm not aware of. It's not like with CW having Seed, they're a network, they're generating content anyway.
They're doing the same thing they are.
So the overhead's less. You know, they're sort of, they can shuffle old stuff there. They can, you know.
That's true.
Saying like all the networks are going to have their streaming apps because that's way more people are watching.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, it's going to be, it's a hard thing like Crackle. Does anybody watch anything on Crackle?
No.
I have it on my PS4 and I want to say Crackle is, isn't that animation?
I don't get it.
It has comedians and cars,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Before people rip it and put it on YouTube.
Right.
All right, I guess I'll have to check out Crackle tonight. Yeah, I've never watched Crackle.
But I've never watched a full episode of Comedians and Cars Getting Coffee, even though it's right up my alley, just because
I'm
like,
why haven't I watched that either?
What the hell is that? Yeah. There's some Danny Glover, like, action show on it, too, but it just doesn't, I don't know, it's not marketing.
Yeah. Well, right, what's next?
Well,
I feel like Bartlett
movies
here. What's next?
Yeah.
Mrs. Landingham, what's next?
Well, I had actually, this came out early this week. Josh alerted me to this. Actually, I'll let Josh tell you about it. March 2018 just got way bigger.
Oh, yeah. because I don't know if you read my article on the site, but
better have.
You mean thewaywenerd.com?
Yes, thewaywenerd.com. Not yet. The website is thewaywenerd.com, not yes, comma, thewaywenerd.com.
I think you can put commas in web addresses.
Yeah. But Spielberg got the fuck out of the way of Star Wars, which is understandable. Yes. And now Ready Player One is opening in March 2018 alongside two weeks after The Flash, which I kind of forgot The Flash was landing there.
Yeah, well, actually, the funny thing is they haven't officially even said that's The Flash's slot. They call it the untitled DC movie, but everybody knows it's The Flash. But
they should just make 5 Wonder Woman movies.
Well, like, it's...
Tell which one Kyle's ready for.
It's weird that March is the new, like...
May?
Yeah, well, but it's like we like this project, but it has to absolutely hit, and we're worried about it being in a crowded spot. So right. Let's drop it in March. So it'll chew up all the money for a little bit.
The thing is it's not even like that unprecedented, because a few years ago 300 kind of started kicking that off. Like, well, 300 wasn't a major release. No, I mean it's not like a Batman versus Superman, but
no, well it showed that it's possible, but yeah. But this is really taking off now. I mean, yeah. There's a difference between the level of film that Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice is at 300. But it's also a chance to try things. Like, Watchmen came out in that slot because it's not a movie you could put out on the 4th of July.
Right. That's where the smaller summer movies ran when everything in the summer became a giant tentpole.
Deadpool tonight. Like, Deadpool's going to make a crap load of money because there's not anything that's going to really challenge it in that style. I mean, a lot of people don't go to the movies as much around now, but this is an R-rated flick. Like, it's going to do just
Ryan
fine.
Reynolds, who doesn't?
But from, like, a box office perspective, Batman v Superman is the first huge movie to be dropped in that kind of place on the calendar.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. But Ready Player One, this is great news for that, it too, because it needs more development time, and it's Willy Wonka with nerd shit. Yeah. So
I'm looking forward to really it. It's going to be fun. And it's got Olivia Cooke, who we all love in Me, Earl, and the Dying Girl.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also from Bates Motel. She's really fantastic, and she's gonna be around for a very long time. She's a very talented girl. All right, so moving on. This is some fun movie news, since all of us are big fans of this Bond. GoldenEye director Martin Campbell and Pierce Brosnan are teaming up for a Hemingway movie.
I saw that.
Interesting.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've read Ernest Hemingway, but I have not read this particular novel. I can't remember what it was called.
I just didn't know that Hemingway ever slept with anyone named Xenia Onatopp, but I'm excited.
I'm excited, just to have that team back together. So I like Martin Campbell as a director, with the exception of Green Lantern. But still, it's like one of those things. It's not his or Ryan Reynolds' fault. It was just too many people. It's not one person's fault that Green Lantern failed. So I think Martin Campbell's been in movie jail for a while. But
Green Lantern would have been a huge success in 1995. It feels thoroughly like a mid-90s superhero movie.
It does.
It feels like Batman Forever.
It does.
Except
totally.
It was even as good as Batman Forever.
Yeah, I agree. It was done to sell toys. Like, that's what it was. All right, so sticking with the movie news, in case anybody hasn't heard, Johnny Depp has been cast as the Invisible Man, and apparently the Invisible Man is going to stick to its darker roots because he is a monster. Like, that dude, like, he's a murderer. Like, the character is...
Yeah, I saw Hollow Man.
Very evil. Yeah, exactly. Hollow Man is very, very true adaptation of the original Invisible Man story. And if they keep that the way it is, because I was discussing this with, I think, both of you, actually. I'm not that excited about this whole shared monster universe.
I just don't care.
Right. But I will say this. This is not new to this genre. They've been doing this since the 30s when they did House of Frankenstein and all the monsters were
absolutely
in it.
And then so, Abbott and Costello show up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. This, but back then, exactly, it was more parody. Yeah. This one they want us to take seriously, so they cast Tom Cruise in The Mummy. They cast Johnny Depp in The Invisible Man. You get Charlize Theron in Creature of the Black Lagoon. You get Brad Pitt in The Wolfman. You basically... What we're looking for in the team up now is not the monsters. We're teaming up all these amazing actors who have never shared the screen at one time. I'm trying to think. Depp and Cruise have never acted together, right? And Depp and Pitt have never acted together, right?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know, but it's going to be a very expensive flop. Charlize has been in movies with all of
them. Yeah. I don't think it will. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it will if you have these right amount of actors and the single movies succeed.
Johnny Depp is a huge movie star, except in any movie that he stars in that's not called Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
So it's still a dicey move.
Well, it is.
Absolutely it is.
But at the same time, it's something that has a bigger following than, say, The Lone Ranger. You know, like, if you made The Lone Ranger for $100 million, that would have been a success, but you made it for $250
Well, I'll tell you what the problem with, like, Invisible Man is.
Lone Ranger's actually not a bad movie, though.
You're not going to see Johnny Depp for half the movie.
Exactly.
No.
Like, if I'm a development I didn't even think about that.
No, but what you're going to see is weirdo Johnny Depp behind, like, the hat and the scarf and the glasses and him being as silly as he wants to be.
I'm intrigued,
one's going to be interesting.
But it's just, like, I'm not excited.
It'll be interesting. Why?
Right.
Why?
Well, and why? The other problem is, you can put Tom Cruise in your Mummy movie, but he's not the Mummy. Why would he show up in the shared one?
To kill Johnny Depp.
I would rather them go the Abbott and Costello route and have, like, Neighbors 3 be like, well, the monsters moved in next door.
Oh my God, a Monsters, Inc. Neighbors crossover.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow, that's a really good idea, actually. Jesus Christ. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to move on from that one. Thank you, Hollywood Reporter.
I'm just going to say, if Universal really wants a shared universe, just turn the Fast and Furious movies into one.
Yeah.
Like, give each of those characters their own movies and then have them come together for the next Fast and Furious. Like, I'd much rather see that than The Mummy.
All right.
And The Invisible Man.
Fair enough.
And Creature from the Black Lagoon. And then The Invisible Mummy from the Black Lagoon.
Well, to me, the best monster movie team-up that ever will be is The Monster Squad from 1987. And you guys haven't seen that. It's basically Goonies with monsters. You should watch it. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good.
I would rather see a very serious adaptation of the shared General Mills universe with Count Chocula and Boo Berry and Frankenstrawberry.
Cherry.
What was he?
Frankencherry or some shit.
I don't know.
Those guys are badass.
Yeah.
I like those.
I'd watch that.
I think Boo Berry was my favorite.
Yeah.
But that was basically just sugar and milk. That's all that
so
was.
Good.
I love it. All right. Well, moving on. And I'm glad Kyle mentioned Fast and the Furious. That's a good segue. So the person being courted for Fast 8's villain is none other than Furiosa herself, Charlize Theron. Will she do this? Probably. Charlize is getting game for this kind of stuff. She's cool. I mean, she did the freaking Huntsman, or we'll talk about that a little bit too. The Snow White one. So please, please make this happen. Universal, somehow make this happen. Especially because Statham's coming back. So if her and Statham are like lovers, and she gets to use her, like, you know, say the African accent, or that was kind of more Australian, but you know what I mean.
You have to do something
awesome
to keep the series fresh and interesting. Not that it's at that point, but I mean,
no, it is. There's seven movies deep, for crying out loud.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You gotta like, but they're still super fun. They've only gotten better. But you have to do something. Like, the movie was so much fun that you looked away from the fact that the plot's
the fact that
stupid.
The whole movie is them trying to find somebody who shows up everywhere
they
are.
Go. Yeah. And also that the whole plot of the movie happened because because it's the guy getting revenge for the last guy they killed who's getting revenge for, like, the last guy. Like,
yeah.
You need to evolve somehow.
Eventually, the whole family is going to die.
But that's crazy because they are bringing back Statham, so that family is still heavily involved in this, you know, whatever. Yeah. But
there will be 10.
We will all be. Yep. We will, all three there of us will be there, and I'm sure Potter will be opening night. So for Fast 8, no matter who the bad guy is. All right, moving on from that. So this is kind of sad news for me. Oh, not really sad, but and I'll still see it. But Creed 2 apparently will not have Ryan Coogler or Sylvester Stallone. Now, Stallone I'm fine with because I think his character, if we never see Rocky again on screen, that was the best ending you could possibly give him, like him with his surrogate son on the top of those steps and, you know, just kind of staring out is like, it's a pretty good view from here. Like, that's a very sentimental, good way to end. Mm-hmm. I don't think I want to see Rocky die on screen. I'd rather him just, even if they mention him like he'd pass, that's fine, but I don't want to see him die. That was enough to see that he had it. Cancer and everything. Spoilers, sorry, because you haven't seen Creed. too late on that. But anyway, so Ryan Coogler will be involved somewhat, but his Black Panther duties are going to take him away because that's a huge deal. Have we mentioned that Ryan Coogler's taking over Black Panther? Have we even mentioned that on this show?
We have to have.
Okay.
Yeah.
If we haven't, that's awesome.
Yeah. Creed felt like a one-off to me. It was successful enough that you'd want to franchise it, but I don't think you're going to squeeze out a more quality or equal quality narrative than the one you just got.
Well, it was very much, if you watch it, it's very much set up for a long-term story. Like,
it is.
Her losing her hearing is like, that's going to be the thing in Creed 3, where like she finally loses her hearing and she can't hear the crowd cheering on Creed.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm fine with that. That's what I'm saying.
He'll be like, over here, and she'll... boom! Dead. Sorry. That's horrible.
Like, Creed V. Bus.
Yeah. It's like Tarantino's version. I'm fine with them continuing the series without Rocky, because I think Adonis Creed's an interesting enough character, especially they had this idea that Stallone was mentioning when him and Coogler were still involved, though, about kind of a Godfather Part 2 type thing, where you kind of go back and see Apollo doing his thing. Obviously, you have to recast Apollo because Carl Weathers is in his 70s, I believe, although he still looks like a tough guy. But anyway, I'm more nervous about Coogler not being involved than Stallone not being involved.
They definitely left loose ends, like, very purposefully.
But you're right, they don't need to.
But like,
no, they don't need to make a sequel. They never need to make
and
a
Mike,
sequel.
Yeah, and Michael B. Jordan was fantastic.
He was.
Yes. He was the testosterone of that movie, but Stallone was very much the heart.
Yeah,
so I don't know what movie you have if you pull him out of it.
I guess that's where it comes to challenge.
You have the girlfriend going deaf.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right. Sounds like 1.5 of us are fine with it. Creed moving on. another thing. So we all know Will Smith opted out of Independence Day, apparently, for both Concussion and Suicide Squad, although I don't think...
Tell the truth!
Excuses.
I'm pretty sure if Will said, hey, will you guys wait a few months to start, if you can, and I'm sure they would have said yes.
Well, he's definitely flirting with them on the idea because they had two different versions of the script.
They did. And then, obviously, there's some bad blood because they wouldn't have killed him off screen, which they've already
announced. By the way, well, that's what I was just going to say. They totally left the door open for him to come back whenever he wants because the official bio, MIA? It's like he was one of the first teams to take the alien ships and go out to explore the universe, and we never heard from him again.
So
he'll come back in Independence Day 3.
Exactly.
Yeah. As long as 2 is a huge enough hit.
Hey, guys, I found the new super weapon.
Right, yeah.
So the reason I bring that up is...
found the more advanced MacBook.
The reason I bring that up is he is open to another sequel, though, and he says it's finally going to happen, and that's Bad Boys 3.
I am in.
I am so in. I love those two together. Martin Lawrence and Will Smith have fantastic chemistry, and he says every time him and Martin get together, they talk about it, but he says this is the first time where it felt like, yeah, we're doing this. Cool. So, Michael Bay doesn't necessarily need to be involved. Did he direct the second one? I think he did.
Yeah. I would love for him to direct the third one because his indulgences are best suited for...
Yes, exactly. Yes. Bad Boys 1 and 2 are two of Michael Bay's best movies. That one and The Rock. Those two in The Rock.
And Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain's pretty awesome. Pain and Gain is kind of Bad Boys. It's like Miami. It's like a buddy thing.
It is. Yeah. It is. Good call. I didn't think about it. It's the criminal element instead of the cops.
Right.
We're all in for that. Good. This is kind of it's not a movie news, but it could be someday. So you guys have heard of this Harry Potter play, right? Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Cursed Child.
And it's, I believe, 10, 15 years after school, so they're adults, or is it even farther?
19.
Past?
Yeah. 19 I think it's 19, years. Yes.
Okay, so they're in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
Okay. Apparently, she's turning this into a Harry Potter book. But Kyle, you have a little more information on that.
Right? It is. So it's not a book. They're publishing the script for the play.
Okay.
And my understanding is it's going to be published like right after previews start.
Okay.
And then they're going to publish sort of the definitive edition. Because often with plays during previews, the script will change somewhat. Not usually hugely, but like bits and pieces will change. So they'll re-release it sort of the final form.
I think there's a good enough chance that this play is a smash hit that it probably will be, and it runs, it has longevity, like the producers say. That thing, I think, is still playing on
Broadway. I heard what you were saying the other day, Kyle, and I think it's true that it'll be a play, and then it'll be a musical, and then it'll go from, like, the published script to, a novella, or, like, a bigger fledged book, and then it'll be...
Yeah, they'll repurpose it in as many different ways as possible. And they may make a movie. I mean, you give it another 10 years... and the actors will all be old enough.
Yeah.
You know,
and Fantastic Beasts will have run its course.
Yeah.
And by that time, they will be far enough removed from the original series that they'll feel like Harrison Ford did and say, yeah, I think I can go back to that world one more time.
Well, I think Rupert Grint would anyway.
Yeah, he would. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, that kid has gotten a lot of offers. But he doesn't. He only does a few things because he's super rich. I don't even know if his heart is in the acting as much as it is with Emma Watson and Radcliffe. But anyway, I don't know. I would love to see that play, and I would love to see it with the cast they just cast. So hopefully someday I can get to London in the next couple of years while it's running. Ooh, I think this is kind of interesting news, especially because he's one of Kyle's writing heroes. Aaron Sorkin is going back to Broadway.
Oh, I saw that.
Yes.
And he's adapting one of the greatest novels of all time.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
You don't sound that excited, though.
I haven't read To Kill a Mockingbird.
You don't read like the one person who hasn't
read it. So.
Yeah. I like
Sorkin. I don't know that I'll ever get there to go see it, but
right. Yeah, but there's a good chance that thing tours.
I'd be more excited if they were like, they're bringing back West Wing, and it's going to be Sam Seaborn running for president after he's been governor of California.
You know Sorkin's done other things besides West Wing, right?
Yes.
Few Good Men! Love that movie. All right.
He's done a lot of those. Sports Night, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Love that show.
Okay, so there's only a couple more news stories to
pick
talk about.
Pick the good
about.
Ones.
Yes.
Wait, how much more? Okay. Well, I think this is a good one. Ex Machina's Alex Garland has a follow up coming out, and he's trying to get Jennifer Jason Leigh, according to the rap. And it's a sci fi horror in the vein of The Thing. And it's an all female cast with Natalie Portman, Gina Rodriguez, Tessa Thompson from Creed. And I'm just really excited because I loved Ex Machina, and him doing sci fi horror. Did you guys like Ex Machina?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god!
I saw it. It was, you know, it was good.
I guess I'm the only one excited about that one. All right, fine. All right. Well, there's only two more stories to go until we get to some Star Wars talk, and the first one is we'll just do them together. Battlestar Galactica movie is moving forward,
according
to the Hollywood Reporter, and this is based on the original television show and not the reboot, the brilliant reboot from a few years ago. And Danny McBride of Eastbound and Down fame and all those Seth Rogen movies is in talks to join Prometheus 2.
That made me excited.
That's fun. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, has he been in anything semi-serious?
Not remotely like that.
I mean,
but he's perfect for it because he's going to be, like, the audience character that wasn't in Prometheus, where the fucked up stuff is happening, and everybody's like, science, and he's like, it's fucked up!
Yeah, good call. Yeah. Good call. He's going to be the human element. That's a great call.
That alien jumped out of her chest. What the fuck?
Exactly.
And that's going to be him.
Ridley Scott is obviously not against casting comedians in dramatic roles. I just saw with Kristen Wiig and Donald Glover in The Martian.
Yeah.
Donald Glover was amazing. I can't even remember what Kristen Wiig did, though.
She was the
press corps now.
I think she was kind of wasted there, but that's okay. She was still, I mean, it was just an awesome movie, The Martian.
The role was expanded. It was much larger in the book.
Yeah.
And if you read the book, you're like, oh yeah, she's perfect for that. Like, if there was more, if that movie was like 5 hours long instead of 2 hours,
yeah, she showed more.
Like, she'd have a lot more to do, and it would be hilarious.
All right. Well, that's all the bit of news we pretty much have. And the last two segments we're going to talk about is Star Wars and some trailer talk. So, Episode 8 news. There's not that much, but according to
Schmoes No,
actually, good call. Some people have canceled the Schmoes No one. Let's go about that one. Good call.
That's the one worth. Yeah,
it is. But I was going to build to that one. All right. Obi-Wan Kenobi is supposedly going to be a Force ghost in Episode 8. People are crying foul because they're like, oh, how's it young Obi-Wan? Why isn't it old Obi-Wan? And it's like, well, number one, Alec Guinness is gone, unfortunately. Number two, if you're in another plane like that, I'm pretty sure you can be whatever version of yourself.
Well, why was Anakin young Anakin?
They've already established that George Lucas is inconsistent.
Yes, but you could come up with some reason.
That one doesn't make any sense because, like Kyle says, Luke, or Kyle's probably thinking Luke
doesn't know that's what, or didn't know that Anakin Skywalker.
Right.
So that's not the one that.
Well, none of it makes sense. I mean, yes. Having him be old Obi-Wan and then young Obi-Wan, like, no, it's just, it's. I mean, fine, do it. It's fine. I'm not gonna like yell from the rooftops about it, but you know, it's a cheat. And that's
it doesn't
fine.
Make
it
sense.
It can be
yeah.
a cheat. That's okay.
However, what if they do this? What if the makeup they put on Ewan McGregor makes him resemble?
Well, that
older,
that's absolutely fine.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll do a little bit of that. I'm willing to like bite my tongue about it just because I want to see Ewan McGregor be Obi-Wan again. And I hope that,
because he's
like,
definitely one of the bright spots of
they,
that.
They better
trilogy.
Not do this, but I would be totally cool with it if they did. It's when he's force ghosting and he's like talking to Rey and she's like, "Well, what do you mean?" He's like, "Well, it was just some weird stuff that happened to me on Tatooine in between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. I will probably never get to see it." And then you segue into the Obi-Wan trilogy that I really want to happen.
Yes.
Or at least the Obi-Wan one-off.
That's what everybody's hoping. That's yeah. what everybody's hoping. So, yeah, so that's the biggest Episode 8 news. Actually, these other ones are, just, I mean, Ackbar, Chewie, and Nim-Num are all coming back. But
no, the biggest Episode 8 news is that they started shooting.
Yeah.
I was going to get to that.
Oh.
I was going to let you do it.
You just said that's the biggest Episode 8 news.
I did. That's true. Very good call. I don't even have that written down. Well, I didn't even write that
it's
down.
Shooting.
Yes, yeah. It's shooting. All right. So yeah, forgive me for that, but that's why we have Kyle to, you know, slap me back into place. All right, let's finish off with some trailer talk because we're going to go see Deadpool. So,
yeah.
We already talked about the Super Bowl trailers, right? Yes, we talked about that last week.
On the interwebs. Yeah.
So, and we talked about it on the internet. So let's just talk about the three big trailers that were released today. First one was The Huntsman, the sequel to Snow White and the Huntsman minus Kristen Stewart, because it's a prequel. Hey, prequel! Although it looks a lot like another Disney movie.
It's only a prequel because she slept with the director, and she's the one who got screwed.
Yeah,
I don't think that guy has a career either. But
the real title of that movie should be Unnecessary 2, Even More Unnecessary. Like, the first one, like, I was like, why? But then you saw the trailer, and you're like, oh, it looks kind of cool. But then when you watched it, you're like, oh, wow.
I enjoyed parts of it. I liked Kristen Stewart in it. I liked her sort of badass Snow White wielding swords and, like,
I liked
storming
it.
The castle.
It just wasn't as enthralling as the visuals.
I agree.
I don't think the second one is even more superfluous.
But the thing about the second one is just that it's frozen.
Yeah, except it's not. It's like
the darker version of.
I'm not sure what it is. It's like five different things. So there's Frozen, and I'm not like there's the Frozen Queen, there's the normal Queen, there's the Huntsman. He's fighting Charlize Theron's mirror.
There's
but also
still.
The Frozen Queen.
And Jessica Chastain's there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like,
that's right. I forgot she was even in the trailer.
Everybody's
what
just
she?
Like fighting each other. And
I guess he needs a.
It's like a weird Venn diagram of a movie where there's like overlap in like one scene.
There's like five plots going on. It's like
a
TV show. It's like there's five plots going on at once, but none of them are really fully addressed.
Yeah.
Well, I gotta say, I'll see it, but. Yeah, not that trailer didn't really excite me too much, but
I love all the people that are involved with
exactly.
it.
Exactly,
and I wonder
Hemsworth
and Hemsworth, you know, must have already had a deal.
Yeah,
but like, what's bringing these other folks?
They just need to replace Kristen Stewart, and they replaced it with two new people at least. Anyway, the other second trailer I want to talk about actually involves Kristen Stewart, and it's a. It looks like a sci-fi dystopian society that one of our presidential candidates is looking forward to, according to one of our nerds here. But don't worry, we're not going to get political on this show. But anyway, it stars Kristen Stewart and Nicholas Holt from X-Men and Mad Max. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful trailer. I mean, the movie looks... like it's going to be gorgeous, but I can't really tell what it is. I mean, Josh, you kind of touched on it.
Well, I'll let Kyle take it because he said exactly what.
Well, when you said it, that we've seen this before.
I mean, it's your normal, you know, love story in a place where you're not supposed to find love because there's no love or whatever. But it looks like THX-1138.
I love that movie, actually.
And it's like the first act of The Island. It's like when, you know, when Ewan McGregor and Scarlett Johansson, they're both clones, and they're both, like, sort of flirting with each other, but they don't understand what flirting is, and like, why do I like this person? Why do I have an erection? I don't know what's going on here. Let's escape. It feels a lot like just that, minus, you know, the action. I don't know. It might be good. It might not. It looks.
It's probably. Pretty. It's probably. I mean, it's executive produced by Ridley Scott, who we all love. Although he can be hit or miss, and it's directed by the guy who directed Like Crazy, which I can't remember his name. I feel bad, but which I like that movie. But it, you know, it was a small romance. Although this does look small. It's just in a sci-fi setting, and I'm sure it was made for like $10 million. But anyway, the trailer looked great, and it excited me more than The Huntsman, which I thought was weird. So, points to you, Kristen Stewart. And the last trailer, which if anybody saw Josh's Instagram or Facebook today, caused me to break his favorite coffee mug of a certain Marshmallow Man, Mr. Stay Puff, Batman versus Superman. I'm sorry, Batman v. Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Final trailer.
Kids don't say S. Kids won't say the S. They won't do verses. It's got to be V. It's just Batman v. Superman.
Did you hear the...
Batman v. Superman.
Okay.
No S. There's no S. Kids can't do it.
You know, sorry. I love that you point out the V part, because the funny thing is there's a theory going around that this is technically the fifth movie in Chris Nolan's series, Man of Steel being number four. And that's why they put the V in there, and it's going to turn out that Christian Bale is going to come back as Batman, and Ben Affleck is going to turn out to be Deadshot or some other friggin' character. Not Deadshot. What's the character? I can't remember. Some other character. It's a stupid theory, by the way.
Yeah, it's the most ludicrous.
It's just like, guys, this is our new Batman, all right? Chris Nolan and Christian Bale did their thing, and it was awesome. But it's time to let other people take the reins.
And if you had any doubts, the first 30 seconds of the trailer...
Oh, my God.
...completely... You kept saying it, and it was so true. It's like, you can see what's happening. Because the Nolan movies are great, but they fall into that trap of, like, Jason Bourne shot action that was really popular for a while.
Just too many cuts.
Quick cuts. And Chris Nolan isn't an action director. He's a set-piece guy.
He is.
But he's not hand-to-hand combat like Zack Snyder obviously is.
Yeah.
The first 30 seconds of that trailer is, oh, my God, look at that Batman.
Rob, did you watch it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, what'd you think?
I liked the first 30 seconds. Again, I don't know, I can't get excited about this movie.
I'm more excited now. I just really can. Yeah.
Well, I was obviously at a fever pitch before this, and then seeing Ben Affleck just whoop ass in this trailer, and I really hoped tonight we get to see it on Deadpool, which I'm sure we will.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that movie and that trailer on the big screen. But
it has, Kyle's point, so the movie more than runs the risk of being like, when you're really hungry and you put 15 things on your pizza and then you just get a soggy mess delivered to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally has potential for that. Because it all sounds awesome when you're throwing it on, but then what you'd have is not pizza anymore. And it might not be a movie anymore by the time we're done with it.
But the
trailer was fun. Especially that first 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, this trailer is all Batman. This focuses, I mean, I feel bad for Henry Cavill. Not so much because the man's going to be able to play Superman for the next 10, 15 years, and he's a good-looking dude, and he's rich, and he can do whatever he wants. But this movie is very much Batman's.
Well, it's a very clear marketing.
Very, very Batman.
It's a very clear marketing decision that Warner Brothers was like, Batman sells. We have to have a hit with this movie. You're fine. Because Superman does not even have a line of dialogue in the final trailer.
No, he doesn't.
It's crazy. Yeah. Spoiler alert, we snuck into a room with a lot of Batman v Superman toys last week. It was all Batman shit.
Yeah, a lot of it was Batman. I think there was maybe three different Superman outfits, even though there's one where he's having a shield. I don't know why Batman needs a shield or Superman needs a shield, but there was like 10 different Batmans. So, and there's also a Wonder Woman. Oh my God, that one looked.
There's two different Wonder Womans. I like Science Batman.
Science Batman.
Yeah, there was Science Batman. Yeah, Science
but, like, Batman. So my concern with this movie, and I think I finally figured it out exactly what it is, it feels, looking at the trailer, and maybe it's not, and I hope it's not, but it feels, looking at the trailer, like they're just trying to catch up too quickly.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at what Marvel did, they had Incredible Hulk, they had Iron Man, they tried Hulk again, they did Thor, they did all of these movies separately, and then Avengers. They didn't go... Iron Man. Okay, now we're going to do Iron Man and Thor together. Okay, now we're going to do a movie with five of them. Okay, now we're just going to do five villains together. So now we've got 100 characters on screen at once.
Yeah.
And now we can go do all of our movies because we've made everybody come in and love all of these characters immediately.
It is a
lot
of ketchup.
And I don't know that there's enough, you know, you needed, for Avengers to work, you needed each of those individual movies. You know, and they don't pull Ant-Man into, you know, the second Avengers movie. They give Ant-Man his own movie. You know, they're launching characters outside of those movies. And some of them are introduced in, some of them aren't, but the major characters are being outside of those movies. And in this, it's they're throwing in Wonder Woman. They're throwing, who else are they throwing in? Aquaman's going to be there.
Yeah, but I think he's...
There's going to be a Aquaman, cyborg moment.
Yeah.
And Darkseid's really in it.
No, I don't think Darkseid.
No, but in a dream sequence, yeah, they released a shot where
they did with the parademons and everything. And,
yeah,
and you see Darkseid symbol and all that stuff.
So it's going to be.
But they've already confirmed that's Bruce Wayne's vision.
Yeah, but I mean, he's still there.
Yeah,
it's still building. A lot. It's like
it's a lot.
But what is that? But does that mean Bruce Wayne has like premonition powers?
And Wonder Woman? Did I mention Wonder Woman? Yeah,
but
I'm excited about Wonder Woman. That movie looks good. That movie looks contained. It looks like right. its own thing. It's not trying to get everybody into everything all at once. Yeah. Like, it just feels like they're running to catch
it
up.
It does feel like...
Hopefully it's not like that. Hopefully I see it and I'm blown away and right. it's amazing.
It feels like you saw, like, the guy having success with the chicks because he has one tattoo, so you went out and got your entire body done. like, it's just... It feels a little bit like rushing and overcompensating, but we'll see.
Yeah. It just feels like impatience.
Yes.
And I mean, full disclosure, we kind of work for Warner Brothers.
For a little bit longer.
I should say that.
I mean, like, it's getting our money no matter what. And
yes, I will absolutely go see it. I have concerns.
Might not see it six times like Star Wars. I hope
I will.
Oh, I absolutely won't see it six times. No matter how good it is, I won't see it six times.
Like,
it's not Star Wars.
I want it to be transcendently awesome because I can't believe we live in a world where these things are actually happening.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Great time to be a nerd. Anyway, so we're going to end it right there because we're going to go see Deadpool right now. Hey, guess what? We're back. We just went to go watch Deadpool, and I'm in love.
It was pretty great. I'm not going to lie. It was a lot of fun.
Ryan Reynolds is my new man crush.
I liked it because it was good, but I was also exhausted.
Well, yeah. We did.
Thanks, John. I liked it because it was bad.
Yeah. We did see it. We did see a pretty late showing, and plus we'd already worked all day, and we podcasted, and even though podcasting doesn't feel like work, and I won't lie, there was parts towards the end of the flick there, my eyes were going down, but it was more out of being tired than anything was going on in the movie.
It made me feel like an old man towards the end. Because it was so much, and like some of the jokes, I was like, well, that was dirty. And I've never really had that, comedy is sacred to me. It's an inalienable truth.
Yeah.
But for some reason, like, I was like,
that's,
oh,
that is
Deadpool,
crazy.
Well, did you have to say that? Like, just some of it.
I know. I just think it's funny coming from you because you have told some of the dirtiest jokes on this podcast.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any
hilarious.
Sense.
But that's cool. I mean,
it's just because it's so much mutt.
I'm glad.
Like a sugar rush. You can't.
Exactly.
You can only have so many bottles.
I'm actually glad you felt that way because that just means that there's stuff out there that can still shock us and entertain us at the same time.
Yeah.
So, but that's I was surprised. I was just surprised that this movie wasn't a NC-17. There's especially one particular. You know what? Let me say this right off the bat. This is going to be a spoilerific review. We're going to talk about as much as we can. It's not going to be really long because we got to get out of here, obviously, because we've been taking up your time for about an hour already. But you want to hear this? It's not going to be. We're gonna spill some stuff. So if you haven't seen Deadpool, turn this off right now. Spoilers begin. Okay, so there is one scene in particular. Kyle, set it up. They were showing their relationship.
Oh, that scene.
Yes.
I was trying to figure out where you were going.
This is the
favorite
scene.
Moment too.
That's the
moment epitomizes the movie.
Yeah, and the scene, I swear there was, if they might have dumbed it down a little or made it a little bit milder. I don't know how you make this mild, but I'm surprised it didn't get an NC-17 rating. Although they did show something like this on TV with Broad City. But anyway, Kyle.
Yeah, I don't know that it was NC-17 worthy. But there's a montage that shows the development
first
of their relationship through sex.
This movie is a love story, by the way.
Yes,
it very much is a love story.
Yes. So they're telling the story of their relationship through sex. It's all these various holidays. Yes. It's sort of the special sex they have. He wears teeth for Halloween and all that.
Yeah.
And then it's just a shot of Ryan Reynolds from, like, the shoulders up. He's clearly, like, leaning over. Yeah. She, Marina Baccarin, leans into his ear and says, "Happy National Women's Day." And then it cuts to a wide shot of her behind him, doggy style. And then it cuts to his face as she enters. And it's hilarious.
She's wearing that wide shot. She's wearing a strap-on, kids. Yeah. She's wearing a strap-on.
In that wide shot, there's even, like, a beat where she tightens up.
Yeah.
She does, yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. And the look on Marina's face, too. Just,
like that, he's like, nope.
Yeah.
And there's so much of the movie that's just like that. And I give a lot of credit to movies that just for the ingenuity. Like, if you show me something that I haven't seen before or didn't think was possible, this movie is that movie. There's no... This movie couldn't have happened 8 years ago, I don't think. Like, a major studio letting a property do this.
And I don't think it could have happened 5 years ago.
This is, and you know what? And it's funny that you say that. That's why we got that crappy Deadpool in the Wolverine Origins movie, because they try to change the essence of the character. And this kept the essence. Like, Deadpool, even in the comics, is not for kids. He is a very adult character. He kills. He curses. He has sex with everything. He's a pansexual. He literally has sex with anything. He breaks the fourth wall continuously. And in this one, when he breaks the 8th, 16th wall?
16th wall, yes. He breaks the fourth wall while breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. Like, that was clever. I don't think the comics ever even did anything like that.
That was fun, yeah.
So, it was just a great time, and it just reinforces my love for Ryan Reynolds. Like, I've liked him since Van Wilder. Actually, since Two Girls, we were talking about this last night.
Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place.
Yeah, which was, Mr. Moorhead was saying, was one of his favorite shows when he was a youngin.
I think people will watch this movie in the future more so even than, like, Avengers Age of Ultron or, like, other stuff. Because I was thinking about when we were watching it, like, I could imagine being 8. And like, or 7, and your dad or whoever being like, "Oh, here's all the superhero movies like 15 years from now."
Yeah.
And you're watching like Hulk and like Iron Man, and then you get a little bit older and you're like having a sleepover at your buddy's house, and he's like, "You ever hear this Deadpool thing?" And you're like 13, and you watch it and you're like, "Oh my God, like this is so unique." I was thinking, like, it was the first time I watched Tarantino when I was a kid, and I was like, people can talk like this and do this in movies, like, it just
and now
blows
this
everything
can happen
over.
In a superhero movie.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, if you want to watch Avengers, you have 15 options.
Yeah, right.
You know, you can watch one of the Iron Mans, one of the Hulks, one of the
Captain
Thors,
America's,
one of the Avengers,
Guardians
of the Galaxy. This is its own thing.
And I like that you bring up Guardians, too, though, because that's also, even though it is very, it's closer to Avengers, obviously, than Deadpool, but those movies like that and Deadpool now is showing you the vast stories and even genres we can get within the genre of a comic book movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, there's so much stuff out there. One, like, that show Preacher premieres, that's going to be, I hope it's good, because that comic is unlike any comic out there. So, it's got... If it sticks to the source material.
I don't know. It's going to be... I have concerns about it, and they entirely stem from the fact that it's AMC and not HBO or Showtime or Netflix.
But AMC does Walking Dead. I mean,
oh, absolutely. But there's a lot...
Well, Preacher is pretty
There's
hard
a lot though. In Preacher that you can't do on
Preacher's
cable.
Preacher's hard R, just like Deadpool. Not quite as comedic, but it's very hard R.
Arseface alone is...
Arseface, yeah. God, Preacher's so good. Sorry, but, I could do a whole podcast on Preacher.
But...
The Deadpool guys, like the creators of the movie, did say that one of the reasons they got the green light for the version that we saw last night was after Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm. Because they share not the same like level of content, but the same irreverence.
Yeah. No, and that's exactly what it is. Yeah, because Guardians, like, if Guardians would have failed, so many comic book movies have been canceled. Now there's probably... Now with Deadpool succeeding, there's going to be green lights everywhere.
Yeah, they're saying it might hit 90 this weekend.
Yeah, that's insane. And I know people I respect a lot, like Steven Spielberg, think that this superhero bubble is going to pop. I don't know if pop is the correct word for it, but it's going to evolve. It's got to evolve, and Deadpool is the first step in that evolution. So, I'm just very excited because this is a huge spoiler. The teaser had something that I called during the credits because I had heard that there was going to be a big announcement for the next X-Men movie or next Fox, whatever. Was this Fox?
Yes, right.
This was Fox,
yeah. Because they own all the X-Men characters. Mm-hmm. And they at the very end, he does this cute little Ferris Bueller post-credit scene, and he comes back out and he goes, "Oh, yeah, in the next Deadpool 2, we're going to have Cable."
I fucking love Cable. Cable is an awesome character. He's the son of Jean Grey and Scott Summers, and he has Jean Grey's powers. And he's just
well, doesn't he time travel too?
He time travels. Yes, he's a time traveler.
Does
so
he have like a gun? See, I know he has very a gun. Little about Cable.
He has a gun. Dude, Cable
besides
is
besides that he's loved.
I will give you some Cable material. He's so fun to read, and him and Deadpool have been.
They're like,
I guess anti-homies is a good word for it because they're...
Well, because Deadpool's first appearance was against Cable and
exactly.
Not X-Force.
But they have an odd friendship. Like, they had a series that was out last year called Cable and Deadpool, and it was so good. I wish I would have had all the issues of it. But it's so fun because Deadpool, because Cable's so serious. And he's like putting... okay, it's like teaming up Ryan Reynolds with Clint Eastwood, basically. But, you know, obviously in shape, younger Clint Eastwood. Like, that kind of thing.
The like Scott thing. Eastwood.
There you go. There you go.
The one thing Deadpool got away with, because it can be kind of silly, but it recognized, is that the problem that Fox has on its hands with its timelines, yes. They're trying to
oh,
do
oh, that joke
universe.
Was brilliant!
Because
joke.
They're obviously going to try and do, especially after Deadpool's success, you better believe in the next X-Men movie, they're going to try and
Deadpool's
put him
gonna be
in
there.
Yeah. But if he was Weapon 9 in the Weapon X program that created Wolverine,
but now that, but didn't this whole timeline
so
wipe that shit out?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, they can't be the same. That can't be the origin. Like, him and Wolverine can't come from the same background.
Yeah, well, they'll figure
and
out.
And you can't, like, and it makes me wonder, like, can Cable really be the kid of
I don't Cyclops? Know. I don't know if they're going to keep that storyline.
Right, that's
why
I wonder,
Jean
like,
Grey
they're
going
to have to kind of, like, shuffle the deck a little bit to
I mean,
make their universe make
well,
sense.
Well, Jean Grey is not gone.
That's true.
Jean Grey is going to be in Apocalypse.
That's true,
right?
Because they wiped out the timeline.
And she'll be
yeah.
So if they stick to that
what's her
timeline,
face from
I think they're sticking to the
Game
first
of Thrones.
Yeah, because the first I think First Class did what J.J. Abrams' Star Trek did, and that's reset the universe. Not
right.
in the sense that universe doesn't exist anymore. It's just another.
But then what I'm
well,
saying is
First Class
offshoot.
Still happened, and then Days of
Days
Future,
of Future
passed,
Past.
That's the one.
Past,
that split it. Okay,
yeah.
Sorry, that's the one that split it. Yeah.
Yeah. So First Class happened in both universes.
Right.
Days of Future Past branches off to a new universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which pretty much just
which
made
means
it so
the
X-Men
trilogy.
X2, I think, still happened. That's how they pretend.
Did it?
I
don't
think
X1
so.
Or X2.
This is something.
Happened.
This is something.
No, I think X1 and
X2
happened. It was basically their way of being like, sorry, we killed everyone in X3. But regardless, what I'm saying is they still have the timeline is unright, but they still have a casting problem on their hands because they just made these cool kids be Cyclops and Nightcrawler
yeah.
and Jean Grey. But if in the next, if you want to have Deadpool in the next X-Men movie, they have to be 20 years older.
Well, the worry for me is putting Deadpool in these X-Men movies is he going to keep that fourth wall breaking and all that and all those little nods,
yeah.
You know, with like in the movie they show there's a action figure of the Deadpool from Wolverine Origins, which now I want just because it's in that movie. They show a little card in his wallet. There's a him as the Green Lantern,
yeah.
Which I thought was kind of cute. I have to look closely because if it does have the Green Lantern on it, I wonder if Warner Brothers gave them permission to use that symbol.
It wasn't the Green Lantern. It was something that was reminiscent enough.
Okay, but he's just wearing a green suit, basically, and had green
eyes.
But
the other thing the makers said is that they feel like they can borrow whoever they want from the X-Men movies, but they don't see Deadpool being able to go over. Like, you can't take him into their tone. You can bring, which this movie did. It was awesome to see Colossus.
Because, there's rumors out
the
there.
The studio could only afford two X-Men.
That, right. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
Why is this house always empty?
Yeah. Oh, and so besides good. Colossus, I love that other character. Negasonic
Teenage
Warhead. What a great name.
Yeah. I need to change my last name to Warhead.
You
might just seem cooler.
Although there are rumors that they're trying to get Ryan Reynolds into Infinity War, the way they made a deal for Spider-Man.
Can't do that.
I'm not saying they're going to. I'm
just
saying that they want to.
No, I don't.
It's one of those things that Deadpool is one of those guys that like is one of those characters that if he's going to jump studios, it's.
I don't see Fox releasing their clutches on.
It's such a weird thing, though, to put him in one of those other movies because you'd have.
I'm not saying you need. I'm not saying I want him there.
No, I know, but there's such a like for it to work.
You undermine everything that movie's doing.
Or
maybe it was Guardians.
He couldn't be big. I mean, like you could throw him in and have like one scene that he's in. That's and he's what, like talking to the camera, and it's like
that's what it was.
What's his face says, and it's like, you know, I can hear you talking. He's like, I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to them.
Yeah,
yeah.
You know, but like you'd almost also need to throw in like him cursing and it being bleeped.
Yeah.
And then him reacting to being bleeped.
Yeah, it's too many.
You know,
layers.
In order for it to be that character, you would have to do that. And at that point, is it just
more so
just taking away from the movie?
More so, the reason I'm bringing it up is just the fact that this movie was resonating with people before it even came out. That's just something that Deadpool's going to do. Yeah. Like now, all these studios are trying to figure out a way to get them into their Marvel movie, even though it probably can't happen.
I wonder how many projects now we're going to see accidentally leaked footage. Proof of concept footage for
Unlocked
to get the fans riled up. Because, yeah, Ryan Reynolds said on TV this week promoting it. They're like, yeah, so this all started because that leaked footage. He's like, yeah, I'm 70% sure I didn't do that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much like Ryan Reynolds, whose star was really low like 3 years ago, being like, I have to be in Deadpool.
Yeah.
The studio just told us we can't do it. Fuck it. I'm going to put this like
this test footage,
footage online awesome. And then the internet take hold.
Yeah.
But anyway, to wrap things up pretty much, this is all leading to something I really want, and Ryan Reynolds has said this in interviews, and that's an X-Force movie, which is a team created by Rob Liefeld and Fabian, I can't remember his last name, but the artist who created, actually, I think he's a co-writer. But either way, X-Force, which would be Cable, Deadpool, Psylocke, Warpath. He was in Days of Future Past. So, and there's a few other ones. Bishop. Oh, Bishop, another character. Fantastic character. So I'm looking forward to X-Force. X-Force is like the black ops of the X-Men army, if you were. So it'd be interesting to see that. But anyway, it sounds like I really dug it. Kyle?
I did. I just want to say before we go, my only criticism of it is there's three action sequences. There's that first big one that is the test footage on the freeway. There's that second that's him fighting Ajax in the burning building.
Right.
And then that third one.
The climax.
In the inexplicable location. I have no idea what that location
was.
I don't know.
That looked like a helicarrier.
Yeah, well,
I don't know why those shipping crates were sitting on top of the thing. Like, nothing about it made sense, which is fine, and I assume that's part of the point.
Yeah.
But my biggest issue was that on the bridge, on the highway, you know, he counts down the guns. Like, there's a lot of clever things there.
Yeah.
It sort of there isn't really in that last action sequence. It's straightforward.
That was my other minor complaint too. Is that especially when it goes into the dark places in the middle when he's transforming, like it totally drops the fun. And it's okay for your movie to shift tones, but it's jarring because you spend 10 minutes out of any of the fun stuff, and you're like literally horrified by what's happening.
Yeah.
But then like three different times he still chimes in like the narration, and it's a little jarring. The movie has to juggle so much.
Yes.
And it pretty much does. Like, if you're juggling, like, seven chainsaws and some oranges, I'm not going to fault you for dropping an orange. Like, it's still pretty impressive.
Yeah. And the movie isn't long. It's only about an hour and 40 minutes at the most.
Yeah.
And, which is good. I don't think it needs to be a 2-hour epic or 2.5-hour epic.
Right.
The reason most of those are is that there's 15 action sequences and they're 30 minutes each.
And there's seven different characters, even if it's a single person's movie.
Yeah.
Whereas this one, they can only afford two X-Men.
And the plot's very straightforward. Nobody gets captured on purpose so that they can try to do something that doesn't make any sense still.
And I have to see it again because the jokes come so fast and furious.
From like the first opening title card.
Yeah. Oh God, the opening title was amazing.
Brilliant.
That was
amazing.
So good. Yeah. And then the little cartoon at the end with the end credits, and then of course the post credits scene. The movie was enjoyable from start to finish, even if there were parts of it, I agree with you guys, that kind of shifted its tone a little bit. Like, you know, when we're dealing with Wade having cancer, which is the reason he becomes a superhero has these powers, is because he's trying to cure this crazy cancer he has all over his body. And, but it's,
Even though I think that also humanized him, which I did like. Even though it shifted the tone.
Yeah, I think all that worked. My only criticism is that end action sequence was a little cookie cutter, and I was a little... I'm getting to the point where I'm a little bored with just cookie cutter action sequences.
Yeah, well, of course you are. The reason some of these movies are enjoyable, like Guardians of the Galaxy is not enjoyable because of the action sequences. It's because it's set in this fantastic world with these characters that we've never seen before, like Rocket Raccoon, Groot, like, you know, just amazing things. But anyway... I can't stop saying how good it is to be a fucking nerd nowadays. It really, really is. And Deadpool is just... people might think Deadpool might be the middle of something because we have so many comic books. No, this is just the beginning. It really is. We are still in the infancy of comic book and epic movies like this. But anyway, we're going to get up out of here, and we will check in with you guys next week. We miss Potter. We will see him next time. He will be here. And make sure you check out our video Deadpool review, which will be hopefully up next week, maybe the week after. We might have a special guest joining us for that review. So, as always, Daniel Villalobos to my left.
Kyle Bound.
Josh Morin.
We will see you next time on The Way We Nerd.